Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dr. Clendenning. How are you today?
I am well, the Michael Labersi. How are you today, man?
Fantastic, everyone. We are back on Total Disruption. This is where Jake and I, you know, come together and share some information that we learn. We express our points of view on the world, and we talk about things that disrupt. And we are typically ahead of the curve, if I may stroke my own ego. We are typically ahead of the curve, and what we're trying to do, especially in the world of communication, authority, and coaching, is bring people information quicker than they would get it, like on the news or some Instagram feed, or get sold a bag of crap, right? And as we talk about success and failure, you brought up a good point. You said success, every failure is a result, not every, but most failures are a result of bad conversations in terms of sales and communication. Why don't you elaborate on that? I mean, you're the one with the doctorate. Elaborate on what you meant by that, because I'm kind of interested. I didn't want to go into a conversation because I wanted to wait till we could record this, but for content's sake, and you know, I like to be genuine in my surprise.
Genuine in your surprise. We'll call that being a Labersi. So, yeah. So when I said that, when I'm talking about every failure, say let's go sales, right? If the failure is we didn't get the sale, that person didn't give us the referral, they didn't buy the thing, whatever it's going to be, it's not a result that they didn't want to buy the thing. It's a result that there was a bad conversation. And when I say a bad conversation, there was no connection, there was no agreement, there was no alignment. Like, we didn't get there. It was likely because that person, I'm going to say you, just because I'm going to use that, is likely that you went into that conversation pitching. Let me tell you how I can help you. That is almost every single time going to kill a conversation, because that is all about me. It's 100% about me. It has nothing to do with the other person, because I said, let me tell you about what I can do, right? It's all about me. And then I'm going to pitch. And usually when we get that, if somebody calls me on the phone and that's where they're going to start, fingers and ears, I don't care. Like, I'm not there. We're not aligned. We're not on the same path. So that's what led us to build the Curiosity Compass, which is basically a conversation primer. It's a conversation format, a decision tree, because everybody's on one of three paths, right? They're either blue, they're orange, or they're red. They're either blue, they're aligned, they're agreeable, they're leaning in, they're excited about it, or they're orange and they're like, I'm not quite sure about what you're talking about. Or they're red and they're activated, they're pissed off, and they're just like, I'm not happy, this is unacceptable. Those are the three paths. Those are the three states that almost any person is going to be in. Plain and simple, that's where they're going to be. But if you show up the same exact way in every conversation, you're going to lose at least 66% of those, because you're not in alignment with them right away. You're assuming they show up as aligned and ready to buy from you or do whatever you're going to do, and you jump right to the pitch. Whatever that's going to be, right to the solution. I've got a lot of clients I've coached over the years that are, as we call them, fixers. And they're immediately, when somebody comes to them with a problem, their idea of they're immediately going to solution. Well, that's not necessarily what they need all the time. So they're trying to be the fixer, and they're like, I fixed their problem. I don't know what the problem is now. I don't know what's going on. Well, they didn't want you to fix the bloody problem. So I'm kind of expounding upon that a little bit just to give you some explanations about how the conversations are failing, how they're not working. It's because you're not in alignment. You're not in agreement. You're not communicating together to get there.
So if I hear you, you're talking about being more well-rounded and working on some weak points versus, you know, hey, I've got to amplify my audience. And if I'm losing a percentage of my audience, I just need a bigger audience, and I need to find more people that pertain to what I have to say. That's a big argument out there in the sales world.
Well, and it's old school mentality.
Right, but there's only so much acquisition you can do. There's only so many people you can get in front of. Yes, I agree. If you're being authentic and you're being you and your character's shining through and that repels some people, they're not your customer. However, if you're the kind of person that is coming across, let's say out of that 66% or 40%, 20% of those people are just confused, and they're not hearing you correctly. There's a delta. There's a gap. There is a way to, and I learned this when I was repping a lot of fitness client transformation, fitness session package sales. People sometimes have the initial problem. That needs to be heard, discussed, and talked about. You may know the solution is not their problem, but you can get to their problem if you just get over this initial hump. And then that's the idea of what we're talking about, is how to get over the initial friction so that you can help more people ethically and authentically. Not just go right to solution because you skipped over a key piece. They never realize sometimes that that's the solution they need. They're still stuck on the previous solution. Like, wait a minute, this guy's or this woman is talking apples and I need an orange. Meanwhile, you need an orange. I've done this before. I know what you need. So if you're, again, in the world of trying to influence, communicate, convince, convert, and you're running into some problems, or you just want to be more of a well-rounded oracle, it's communication. It really does break down to bad conversations, not listening enough, not dialoguing enough, not being truly solution oriented enough, not having the right training. What do you say? Not training your brain, because input equals output, not training your brain enough to be well-rounded to hear a problem and then create a solution for somebody versus just jumping to a solution. And we created an app, and we're talking about this thing to the cows come home. We created an app with the compass, with everything else that helps prime the brain to become a little bit more solution-oriented in the way that people need to hear it. You want to expound on that? Let's talk right away about the webinar on May 13th.
Yep, May 13th, we've got a training that we're doing related to the CRG methodology and related to the compass, and we're going to give you some promo pricing on the app. The point of the app is it's a gap bridge, right? It literally is going... Something we notice why so many communications fail, so many conversations fail, is because they're practicing on their client. They're practicing on their customer. That is just, man, that's a tombstone waiting to happen with whoever's going on with them. We don't practice on clients. We don't practice on customers. The other thing is we should always practice. I'm going to take that back a little bit. Practice with each other a little bit. And yet there's still a gap there. It's not quite right. That's why we built the app with the intention of how do I set this conversation up? I'm going to have this conversation. And it's built for leadership. It is built for sales. It's built for HR. It's built for CSMs. And it's built for, there's a custom feature in there of the, hey man, I got to have this really difficult conversation later today and I need to know how to start it. And that it, we have it built for that, and it's built on the decision tree of the compass. So sure, can you go into chat, your unpaid version, and ask it to role play with you a little bit? Yeah, you're gonna get some responses back, and it might make you feel a little bit more confident when you go into it, but it's likely you're not gonna be on the right path when you get there. So that's the piece that you need to understand. Now, I'm gonna way oversimplify this for the model, is you don't need more scripts. I think scripts are absolute bullshit at this point. I've gone down that road, and that's one of the reasons we built this. You don't need more scripts. You need a system. You need a model to be able to just run the play. You just have to run the play. Here's the oversimplification. Every single person is on one of three paths, one of three emotional paths when they come into your ethos. They're in one of three emotional paths. Your job is to help get both of you to the blue path, to get to the agreeable path, and you can do it in 10 questions. You can do it in 10 questions. There's three paths, 10 questions. That's the system. That's what you need to master and understand. And this is based on human strategy, human psychology, and how we all communicate. This is neuroscience boiled down to its absolutely rudimentary source. This is diluted down, distilled down to the 100 proof stuff. So super stoked about where we're going with this. And I will tell you, every single person, I'm going to ask Mike this one, every single person has a client. Every role has a client. Every role has a customer. And this is where you'll see this in leadership. A lot of people will argue with me about this, and I find this entertaining. All right, Mike, if I'm in sales, this is pretty easy, right? If I'm in sales, who's my customer? Anyone with breath. It's a customer, right? It's somebody wanting to do business with me. Okay. Yep. So let's step this into, if you are a human resources person, who's my customer?
Employees.
Employees are your customer. Absolutely true. If you're an executive leader, who's your customer?
All the direct reports and their direct reports underneath them.
100% your direct reports. He's absolutely right. And I want to challenge you guys to think that way. They are your customer. They're not your employee. They're not your charge. Think of them as your customer. When they come to you and say, Michael, you know, I want to have a conversation with you, you got to think of them in that moment as the customer. And all you need to understand is what path they're on and what your universal start question is going to be for this conversation. That's what we're going to teach you on the 13th. That's the model. That's the app.
So I think there's a paradigm shift that goes with this that I feel like the audience and everyone who's listening to this needs to hear. The paradigm shift, instead of saying, you know, hey, you're my employee, go do what I'm asking you to do. That's not the right way. I'm your dad or mom, go do what I ask you to do. I am your this, you are my that. There's a possession, right? I may have gotten where I've gotten because I am who I am and where I'm at, and you are who you are because of where you're at. Both require equal respect. People in leadership are just more responsible for overseeing the vision. People under leadership are responsible for carrying out the vision. And if someone is an employee of a company and their leadership is carrying out the vision, mission, and brand of the company, the direction of energy needs to be outward to service a population or to make customers happy. And everybody needs to be on board. Communication is the lifeblood between the top and the bottom. It's not do what I say because of my ego. Now, ego comes in when there's bad behavior, inefficiencies, or mechanisms, or disrespect. Yeah, sure. When it comes down to the general wiring of a company or the general wiring of a family dynamic, it is, hey, it's your turn to do this. You need to deploy, take it out the trash, teenager. You need to pick up your room. You need to put your toys away. Practice your sport. Brush your teeth. It's all for the greater purpose. And communication and effective flow and effective parameters are key. And not everything works for everybody. We just talked about that. Not every parenting style works for every parent. Not every company policy works for every company. Not every intra communication in terms of a company works. That's where the AI primer comes in. That's where describing the environment you're in. That's where setting the tone. That's where practicing in the environment that you're in and being able to train your brain on how to switch gears rapidly between who you're communicating with the paradigm shift that, wait a minute, I'm trying to move energy from me through who I'm communicating with for a result, whether it's a sale, whether it's an execution of a task, whether it's to better that person or to better that individual. And I feel as if the influence of the old era of the way things are, there's a pecking order and you need to fall in line. If anything, the global communication, the rise of the internet, and the rise of the human voice has changed the dynamic and the paradigm. Mm-hmm. Somebody might be an employee, but if that employee has a voice and they're an internet influencer, all of a sudden that employee has got a little bit different impact now on the way that they are seen in the world. There's no longer this hierarchy of things, right? There's no longer a pecking order of global importance. Somebody's elected a president. They take their way into leadership. Sure, you're only holding that position as long as everybody around you is dialed in. If your communication sucks after a while, you're going to get a bomb dropped on you. You're going to get voted out. You're going to get, you know, removed in some capacity. So that's why, and I know that you and I are really beating this paradigm shift into people's heads, because I think we're on the cusp of something fresh here. Communication. Leveraging artificial intelligence, using it as a tool to effectively maximize human behavior. We want to start to teach this concept before this concept is over, you know, overtaken. And we want to make sure that you and I spend 20s of thousands of hours in this world of communication. And we've tried just about everything. Does that make us experts? Absolutely. I'm going to say yes. You and I are experts in what to do, what not to do in our microcosm, and we're trying to share. And we are also trying to empower people on how to properly use AI and how to properly put AI in perspective relative to trying to influence and communicate ethically. Did I sum that up all right?
It totally does. And I want to circle back to something you said there that we haven't talked about in a while, but it's so vital. Oh my God, is it so vital? You talk about it's the leader's job is they're responsible for the vision. And it's the employee's job, their charges, to carry out the vision. Absolutely true. From a very tertiary standpoint, absolutely true. Here's where it gets stupid, is when the leader is not clear on the vision, there's no possible way your employees could carry it out. Input equals output. It's right there, right? If the leader is not clear on the vision, and here's one I heard this from a board the other day, actually board of directors. They could not actually tell their CEO the vision of what the organization was going to be. Their vision was, we need to have a surplus of funds. We need to have a surplus of funds. That was all they kept talking about from a very financial standpoint, surplus of funds. All right, well, the CEO can kind of carry out some of that and go, all right, we're going to work financially towards this particular goal. But when it comes to, if I'm a direct report, you know, if I'm somewhere down there mid-level or something, surplus of funds is meaningless to me. I don't care if the company's making more. That's irrelevant. I'm not gonna have. So from a communication standpoint, at the very highest level, when you're not able to communicate the vision, if somebody gives you and catches you in an elevator and says, "Hey, man, what's the vision of this organization?" and you go, "Well, you know, it's to have a surplus of funds at the end of the year," they're gonna look at you like you just grew an extra head. I mean, that means it's meaningless. You've got to be able to communicate and be eloquent, and you've got to have the charisma, because you've got to have the buy-in, because buy-in is where you get the accountability. Because if somebody's bought into the vision, there's a great book Simon Sinek wrote.
Your boy.
Yeah, I do. I love the stuff that Simon writes. I've absolutely been a fan of his, no question. It's not his start with it's the infinite game. Now, I had to think about it for a second. It's the infinite game. And he talks about a just cause. I think it's in chapter 2, as I recall. I'm channeling here. I believe it's in chapter 2. I've read the book. I know the book, but he talks about the just cause.
Probably it's what we have on our hands, folks.
So that's where, like, that's just it. When you've got the buy-in. So Mike talks about, you know, for kids, as an example, you know, you need to clean your room. Do they understand why it's important that they clean their room? Do they want to clean the room? They have the buy-in because they have the understanding of the overall vision. It's the same rules, comes right down to it. As a parent, whatever your style is, whatever the greater vision of your family is, you got to be able to communicate it. You have to be able to make sure your kids have that buy-in of, this is where we're going. This is why. So that they go, they're coming to you and going, "Hey man, let's go throw the ball today. Let's make sure that we're practicing. Let's go work out." Like, what we want ultimately, we want our kids, we want our charges, we want our employees, we want our customers, we want everybody coming to us and saying, "Hey man, let's go do this." We don't want to have to go to them and, like, drag them into the street and, you know, "You're going to throw this ball now." We want them to come to us and say that, and we want, because they understand the vision. And that's because we were able to communicate the vision correctly, depending on where they are. And that's where it comes back to those three paths again, to where I talk about that. We see this all the time. You see it from a presidential, you know, debate. You can see it from anybody standing in front of a room of 500 people, right? Anybody standing in front, hell, it could be five people, quite frankly. The five people in the audience are going to have five different experiences in that moment. than the person standing at the stage is. They all five are. They're in a different emotional state. They're standing in a different space. They can only absorb, and I haven't told you guys this one in a long time, the statistic is at any given moment, there are 4 million pieces of information bombarding you, flying past you at any time. 4 million. I don't know who researched this. I don't know how they figured it out, but it's 4 million. At any given time, a human brain can only absorb 150. 150 out of 4 million. So it's impossible that two people are having the same experience. Your job as a communicator is to do the best you can to bridge that gap and create that understanding. You can't possibly grab 5 people and say, you each will have the same experience. You can't. It's not plausible.
Well, I think too, if to come back to your point, that's why I like our dialogue here so much. When you have a board of directors that can't communicate to the CEO the vision, don't you think maybe like using our app would help, even though it's not a sales conversation? If you can't input to get your output, AI, especially a specifically primed AI, what a masterful tool for you to stick your foot in your mouth about 500 times and then really go, wow, what a rabbit hole you're going to lead yourself down. If you can't communicate to your own CEO the path, why not just sit there and in your phone or in your computer and look like a dumbass, just sitting there going, okay, blah, 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 right? Like until it makes sense. And then you're going to come out looking like a champ. And you've done rehearsed this now maybe 20 times. And then maybe you're down another path. Like, oh, shit, the original reason why, not to get too ethereal or too off topic, but have you ever done this? You're starting to try to communicate a point. And then you realize, oh man, I'm so far off when I try to actually say what I'm saying that I'm going to just not say what I'm saying and say something else because I'm so, but it's just not working. The distance between my brain and my mouth is too far. It's ridiculous.
Because we haven't rehearsed it. You use the right term. It's 100% right. We haven't rehearsed it. Think about all your favorite actors in Hollywood. Think about your favorite artists as far as bands are concerned. They don't get on stage and roll out a new song that they've never played before. That does not happen. They don't get in front of 50 million people and just roll at the Grammys and roll out a song they've never played before. They've rehearsed it and rehearsed it and rehearsed it and rehearsed it till they can't get it wrong. That's how they practice it.
I can attribute to that. I had a flashback. I remember my friends and I, when I was doing a lot of mountain biking, there was the stunt riding component to mountain biking. We used to ride on cars and spools and rocks and beams. And it was a little version called observed trials where you take a specially sized bike and you ride over things. And the idea is you're between tape and the idea is, okay, it's a little slower than high speed riding, but then you add some stunts into it. And we used to do these shows and we used to go out cold and not rehearse a show. And the show sucked because we never actually practiced a 7-minute routine. You know, it's like a great idea, but then when you're kind of not, you don't have 7 to 15 to 20 minutes worth of things. And you know this from speaking, when you don't rehearse, you come out looking like an idiot. You can extemporaneously pull off a lot of shit. But if you don't know how to carry X number of minutes, it's like us doing this thing. We don't necessarily rehearse podcasting, but we're both speakers and coaches. We run our mouths all day long. That part's dialed in. That's the part we rehearse. That's the part we understand talking in sound bites. That's the part. The part that is where a lot of people fail is they don't have that rehearsal process in communicating. They're good over here, not so good over here. And the app, the compass, all the things that we're doing with Total Disruption are trying to truncate that. So as we close out, do you have any like tips for somebody right now? Let's get tactical. We've got tactical in a minute, and that's about what we have left in this broadcast. You got any tactical tips for somebody who's trying to rehearse outside of going to our app?
Well, go to the app. The other part is you've got to have the ability to get feedback. If you're cold rehearsing in front of a mirror with nobody to give you feedback, it's not that you're going to necessarily improve. You might think so in your head, but you don't have a way to get real feedback. Feedback is not anything negative. Feedback is love when it comes right down to it. Be willing to take the feedback, get the feedback. In the app, we've built it out so that you actually get live feedback as you're going through a conversation, and then you get your coaching tips of here's what you did great, here's what you could do a little bit better. You've got to be able to get the feedback so that you can apply it to get better. It is, you know, hire a coach if you need a speaking coach. If you want to, whatever it needs to be, you've got to have somebody that can give you critical feedback. And you've got to give them permission to give you feedback. If you're going to role play with your wife and not tell her it's okay to beat me at the end of this, she's going to be nice about it. You're not going to grow. You've got to say, hey, this has no bearing. You got to set up the standards. This has no bearing on anything else. I want you to be critical. It's okay. You got to give permission to get the feedback. And you've got to give yourself permission to get the feedback.
Well, that's perfect. Let's pick up next time on Total Disruption. My name is Mike Liberci, and for my very esteemed colleague, Jake Lindenning, Dr. Jake Lindenning, you were live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time, and we'll see you on the 13th.